special meeting of the City Council to order. Let the record show that all council members are present, and we will begin with our moment of silence. Thank you. And to lead us in the pledge, since it's sort of her night, I've asked Susan Slayton, our finance director, to do the honors.
Please stand and join me in the flag salute and salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, just so that the public knows the order of events, we're not going to have our public comment until after the budget has been presented, so that then you can make your comments based on what you've heard rather than speak in a vacuum without having the discussion come first. So it will be the presentation of the budget and then comments from the Citizens Oversight Committee, that's the Measure Q group, and then the presentation on local transaction tax budget, and then we will have public comment. So that's how it's going to work. So unless there are any announcements from council, sure.
I just want to make one quick announcement, or not an announcement, just a thank you to the fire department, Morro Bay Fire Department. My sister lives 1/2 mile from Griffith Park. Her house was in the threatened area, except for one nice little thing. It was a freeway, Highway 5. We were back and forth on the phone all that night. Then she called me, and she said that she heard some guy named Todd Gailey on the radio. And I got something from Chief Pond that our Engine 5381 with Captain Olson, Todd Gailey, and Michael Talmadge responded to that fire, along with 5 other units, I think, from this area. And my sister sent this quote up that night while she's watching the fire. She sent this up. This is a Kurt Vonnegut quote. "I can think of no more stirring symbol of man's humanity to man than a fire engine." Thank you.
Any other comments from the council? All right, then, Susan, if you'd like to present the budget, please.
Thank you. Good evening, Madam Mayor and council members. Before you tonight is the proposed 2007-2009 biennial resolution to adopt the 2007-2008 budget at the May 29 regular City Council meeting. For the 2007-2008 budget, expenditures and transfers out equal $22.7 million. Revenues and transfers in equal $23.2 million. The end result is a net surplus of $435,000. These are the funds involved in the 2007-2008 budget process. The city has a total of 59 active and inactive funds, each capable of having a budget. For the 2007-2009 biennial cycle, only 21 of these are active. Members of the council have inquired about cash balances, and I thought it would be a good idea to include some information on that for the general fund and its reserve, along with the same information for our 3 primary enterprise funds. As you can see, the general fund is in a positive cash balance as of April 30, 2007. However, there are still 2 months worth of activities that will draw down that balance to a very low or even to a negative position. The general fund is recovering admirably, which is directly related to restricted spending. Information on the general fund reserve is presented in a later slide. The water revenue and accumulation funds are growing. While no projects are tentatively planned at this point in time for this fiscal year, significant projects will be forthcoming in the future. I've since learned from Mr. Boucher that there are some projects that will be occurring, but at this point in time, I didn't completely have that information. The sewer revenue and accumulation funds will be used for projects related to collections and the wastewater treatment facility. These projects will begin once a decision has been made about the treatment plant project. The harbor operating fund is in a negative at this point in time, but the accumulation fund does have $1 million, and there are projects planned for that fund. Here's a graphical representation of where we spend our money. Personnel and contract services are the two greatest costs to the city at a total of $16.5 million, or 72% of the total proposed expenditures, reserve officers, and the property evidence person. Those salaries had been previously budgeted out of the SLEF, or Supplemental Law Enforcement Services Fund. This year, the $100,000 allocation from the state is being targeted for police equipment. The remaining proposed increases and decreases, resulting in a net increase of $42,000, are to adjust services to keep pace with inflation. $21,000 of this increase in the police budget is offset by additional revenues. The increase to the fire department's budget is primarily due to the adjustment in the benefits allocation. The required contribution to PERS to fund the cost of fire personnel retirement increased in January 2007. This adjustment and other proposed cost increases in services for the fire department are completely offset by increased revenues. The budget for 2008-2009 is not balanced. A 2% bottom line increase was applied to most budgets, which resulted in a $184,000 deficit. The continuing problem for the general fund is stagnant revenues. With the 2005-2007 budget presentation, former finance director Jim Kozer made the following observation: "We need to match our traditional and reasonably reliable core revenue streams with our continuing contractual and ongoing spending obligations." This did not happen and is now a serious problem. Our core revenue streams are not increasing at a rate that keeps pace with inflation. We are now faced with the last budget year where department directors may be able to hold the bottom line or request limited budget adjustments at mid-year. A new continuous revenue stream, and I strongly emphasize continuous, must be found, like the Morro Dunes RV park management. Without new revenues, the 2008-2009 budget will be brought to council with a plan for program and service curtailments and a resolution enacting that plan. These are the proposed general fund revenue estimates for the 2007-2008 fiscal year. The top revenue for the general fund is property taxes at nearly $3 million, with transient occupancy tax second at $1.85 million. Sales tax is the largest at $1.3 million. Expenditures and transfers out exceed revenues by $1.1 million. Transfers in from other funds fills the gap that balances the budget. Administrative transfers from the enterprise funds make up the greatest portion of the gap. Support in the amount of $260,000 from gas tax and traffic safety balance the 2007-2008 budget. The city has an established policy on general fund reserves, 27.5% of the general fund operating budget. Reserves changed dramatically in 2002 when property was purchased. Since then, liquid reserves have not been able to be increased due to the plunge in natural gas revenues, revenue losses at the state level, and flat core revenues. This slide shows us what the operating budgets were from 2002-2008, the amount of reserves, and what the reserve at 27.5% of the operating budget should be. The recent increase to reserves is due to reconciliations of various funds and general funded capital projects, a bit of defragmentation. Idle cash that was targeted for a purpose that no longer exists, or completed general funded projects with excess allocations, have been closed and transferred back to the reserve. This year, the applications received from agencies requesting financial assistance totaled $22,000. An additional application was received, but accidentally overlooked. Hotline of Slo County has been a recipient in the past and is requesting $2,000 per year. If council directs, Hotline can be included in this list by making changes to other funding allocations. It is vital that the bottom line remains unchanged so that the budget remains in balance. This is the final slide related to the general fund, and it depicts the dollars spent on tourism. The city devotes over $300,000, or 3% of the general fund proposed expenditures, towards tourism. These are the other budgeted funds for the city that will be addressed in the following slides. Law Enforcement Services, or SLESF, and our two landscape and lighting districts, North Point and Cloisters, and their amounts, their budget amounts are presented on this slide. Capital improvement funds are established to record costs of producing tangible city assets, such as buildings, streets, vehicles, and documents such as a housing element. These are the proposed capital projects for the 2007-2008 fiscal year. General government is funding ADA facilities to comply with a settlement agreement. Transit is using TDA, or Transportation Development Act, funds to purchase two new vehicles and a generator. And the harbor is requesting to use funds for the portable office, dock repairs, and public bench and access improvements. Enterprise funds are used to account for the business type activities of the city. These funds are intended to be self-supporting. Our enterprise funds are transit, water revenue, sewer revenue, and harbor operating. The transit fund is home to the Dial-A-Ride demand response system that provides door-to-door services to citizens of all ages. The trolleys are operated out of this fund as well, with general fund support to cover the shortfall between expenditures and revenues, which is about $22,000. Also in the transit fund, 2% of the TDA funds received by the city are specifically set aside in this fund for bike paths and bike lanes. This is a breakdown of the proposed transit spending. And as you can see, the plan is for the transit fund to have a net income at the end of the year of $74,000. The Water Revenue Fund accounts for activities related to water sales. At year end, excess cash is transferred to the water accumulation or reserve fund for future capital project needs. Getting tongue-tied. Here is the breakdown of proposed spending for the Water Revenue Fund. As you can see, the wastewater treatment facility for accepting the inflow. As with the Water Revenue Fund, excess cash at year end is transferred to the reserve. Here's a breakdown for the proposed spending of this fund. And again, you'll note the net income or loss is zero. That has to do with the transfer of excess monies to the accumulation fund. The Harbor Operating Fund manages the properties in the vicinity of the bay and harbor operations on the bay waters. As with water and sewer enterprise funds, excess cash at year end is transferred to the reserve. And again, here's a breakdown of the proposed spending there. There's a very small amount that would be transferred, but again, the idea is to bring the operating fund down to a zero cash at the end of the year, move it into the accumulation fund, where it can be used for capital projects. An internal service fund accounts for services or goods provided by one city department to other city departments on a cost reimbursement basis. Our internal service fund is a risk management fund, which handles the insurance coverage for the city. Insurance premiums are estimated at $800,000. Departmental charges are estimated at $1.1 million, which creates a surplus of $277,000 as a reserve against potential claims. The Morro Bay Cayucas Sanitary District Wastewater Treatment Facility is a jointly owned facility between the two agencies. It is run by city employees and reimbursed by Cayucas and the Sewer Revenue Fund based on each community's share of inflow. Here's the proposed spending for this fund. It will always reach a zero because it is only covered by what it spends. And in summary, the 2007-2008 budget is in balance, but without cost of living increases and with very limited service adjustments. This is the last year that departments can operate without adjustments to keep pace with inflation. The 2008-2009 budget is not balanced. A new continuous revenue source needs to come into the general. There would be funding for it, and I do not have information on the existing projects in the budget at this time.
So these are only for new projects, not what's currently existing?
Yes, ma'am.
Or how it's covered?
Yes.
Anything else, Betty?
Not at this time.
Okay, Phil? Rick? Melody?
I had just a couple of questions. Could you go back to the expenditures for tourism slide, please? Because we have it in black and white, and I just wanted to make sure I've got all the numbers right. Okay. The trolley, is that the $22,727?
Well, I thought I had it. There we go. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Okay. I just want to make sure of that. And on the budget itself, on page 4, where it has our general fund revenues by category, the property tax, VLF, and the sales tax, you show a decrease on both of those from 07 to 08, 09. What's the reason for the sales tax decrease? I mean, shouldn't that be up?
The sales tax increase, I took those numbers from our consultant and looked at the changes that were made from the end of September and the end of December. The sales tax numbers declined through that period, and that's why I used a lower estimate to be conservative.
Okay, and understanding that the extra half cent is in a separate fund.
Exactly.
So that doesn't show up as an increase here.
Correct.
And the VLF and the, what was the other one down here? One of the state reimbursements. Those are, I had it. Oh, the motor vehicle tax, yeah. That's a down and up thing. It went from $240,000. Was that all that triple flip stuff?
Yes, it is. Okay. And it's now reflected up in the property taxes.
Okay. And I think those were my only questions. Go ahead, Melody.
Susan, you and I have talked about this, but I just wanted to make sure everybody understands this. That in the budget, when you talk about franchise monies going up and ending at some point, you told me then that you use a software predictor. It's a computer program, true?
That's correct.
Okay. So, in other words, at least that dollar amount is not based on political realities, court judgments that might happen, decisions by corporations, but it's a software-driven analysis.
Yes.
Okay. So we really don't know that we're going to get $225,000. It's the best guess from a computer program.
That's correct.
Okay. And then the Morro Bay Power Plant CDF money is the note under other revenues?
Yes.
Okay. And so that we predict is staying the same, too?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments from staff before we hear from the Citizens Oversight Committee? Okay. Citizens Oversight Committee.
While she's getting that up, I'm Joyce Lundy, and I'm the spokesperson.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay. I'm Joyce Lundy. I'm spokesperson for the Measure Q Oversight Committee.
Okay.
She's going to put a... There we go. To the citizens of Morro Bay and Honorable City Council, the Oversight Committee carefully reviewed the material that the citizens received during a fall campaign to increase the sales tax 0.5%. Based on that review, the committee concluded that there were four areas where the money should be spent. These four areas are: replace the fire station, equipment for public safety employees, improve streets, and repair storm drains to avoid runoff into the estuary. After receiving direction from the City Council, the city's professional staff budgeted the money as follows. Projected revenue for the first year, $650,000. Fire department, $390,000, or 60%. Streets, $97,500, or 15%. Storm drains, also $97,500, and 15%. And public safety, $65,000, or 10%. The committee reviewed the spending plans and set up a separate fund to track the revenue that will be generated from the sales tax increase and the corresponding expenses. The use of the money will be very transparent. This has been signed by the five members of the Measure Q Oversight Committee: Homer Alexander, Lanny McKay, Cheryl Taylor, Joyce Lundy, and Graham Pask. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your work, all of you. Appreciate that. Okay, now the presentation on the local transaction tax budget. Who's doing that?
That was it.
Oh, that was it, too. Okay. I thought that was two separate things. All right.
I did them on two separate
Okay. Things. All right, then now we have the public comment period. Anyone wishing to speak on our budget issue this evening, please come forward.
Good evening. I'm Dan Glessman, a resident of Morro Bay. And in my browsing of the 07 through 09 proposed budget for the general fund, I see only more pain. Expenditures will continue to outpace revenue along with continued defer of maintenance. The April 2007 consultants report on revenue enhancement opportunities and development fees recognizes that housing development has been a poor choice. The city nets only a small percentage of property tax, while demand on our infrastructure and services has intensified. The report's direction looked like the citizens of Morro Bay will be hit with higher fees and taxes to support the general fund. And this will be in addition to significantly higher essential fees for water and waste treatment projects. I think it's important to reflect on the economic situation that allowed Morro Bay to incorporate back in 1964. At that time, we had a continuous operating power plant, we had an active commercial and recreation fishing, and we had a destination tourism in support of that to a quaint rural location. Of these, we're pretty much just left with tourism, but that has to compete with upscale expansion of other communities. Under the new leadership of the Chamber of Commerce, I do see they're making progress in developing more events to bring revenue from outside of town. And city promotion support for these events will be, I believe, a wise and measurable economic investment. Nevertheless, it's unrealistic to expect tourism alone to generate the level of revenue we desire.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Good evening, Mayor Peters, council members, and staff. My name's Ed Biagini. I'm here tonight as a member of your Community Promotions Committee and as a business owner. Before I rattle even faster my 3 minutes, there's a discrepancy that we have between the revenue funds that are online, the online version of the budget, and the slides that we saw tonight with regards to sales tax and the proposed budget for sales tax. Yesterday online, the supposed budget was $1,002,000 for 07-08 under sales and use tax, and our slide shows $1,320,000, and I thought maybe I could get an explanation for that.
Okay, well, after the public comment, we'll get those questions answered.
Okay.
So now you can have your 3 minutes, because that was just bringing up a question. Okay.
I thank you very much. I'm here to ask tonight for the $40,000 that you graciously gave the Promotions Committee early this year to be included in the new fiscal year coming for 07 and 08. And I'm also asking that you fund the County Visitors and Conference Bureau at the requested amount based on the new fair share formula. As you're aware, our Chamber of Commerce, as well as several other community organizations, have rallied together to enhance, create, or develop several new and exciting events here in Morro Bay. These events are and will continue to increase the number of visitors to Morro Bay. It is undoubtedly the support of the business community and volunteers throughout Morro Bay, as well as the city, that have either contributed money or many hours of their time to allow these events to happen. But without the promotion of these events, no one will know they exist. It takes money to do that promotion, and that's where you, the City Council, comes in. The business community understands that in past years you funded the promotion of Morro Bay at a much higher rate than you do today. We also understand that some of you did not see the benefit in spending that much money. But we feel it's different now. You have to see the value of getting the word out about these events. Just look at the crowds this past weekend at the car show. I mean, they were incredible, and it was huge, and it continues to grow. You're going to ask, and I know this, where do we get the money? And once again, I have specifically looked at TOT for a possible answer to that. Your budget for next year has TOT proposed to be $1,850,000. We feel that this is very conservative, and May has also showing an increase over May of last year. Also, the addition of the Morro Shores with 29 new rooms needs to be taken into consideration. The point is that your proposed TOT revenue for next year should be increased. This additional revenue would easily fund both the request for the Promotions Committee as well as a request to the VCB. In closing, I want to remind you of the value of advertising. If it weren't for the advertising mailings that you were able to do for Major Q, it would never have passed. The business community heavily supported your fundraising efforts, which enabled you to do the outreach necessary to convince the citizens of Morro Bay that Major Q was the right thing to do. The business community saw the value in investing in Major Q, and we hope that you will see the value in investing in the promotion of Morro Bay. Help us keep this driving engine of success moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and council members of the Morro Bay Chamber, City Council, sitting next to the chamber. I'm Johnny Biagini. I'm the Executive Director of the San Luis County Visitors and Conference Bureau, and I also want to talk to you about the funding that staff has recommended for the Visitors and Conference Bureau for the next year. The Visitors and Conference Bureau has been your tourism promotion agency for over 20 years. In fact, we're going into our 21st anniversary this year. And we have been consistently promoting Morro Bay, and the return on your investment has been significant. In fact, you have all received a very colorful report on exactly the kind of impact and return on your investment that we provided you in 2006. Public relations alone valued over $3 million if we were to go out and buy that space. That's an incredible return on the $10,000 that you allocated for funding for last year. Not to mention all of the businesses in Morro Bay who are members of the Visitors and Conference Bureau who have dug deep into their pockets, own pockets, to invest in tourism promotion with the Visitors and Conference Bureau in an effort to improve the economic vitality of Morro Bay. We are asking you to support those businesses who are supporting tourism and making Morro Bay more viable. We produce an incredible visitor's guide every year, and I hope you have one. If not, I have some extra ones for you. And it is one of the ways that we promote Morro Bay, as well as the advertising and the promotions. Our message to you is that our board works with you to be a fair share partner. If that does not happen, then the entire premise of the countywide Visitors and Conference Bureau pooling resources, all of those things, it just doesn't work. The integrity is then put at jeopardy. So I ask you to listen to those people who know how the transient occupancy tax is going to increase. I think that it would not be out of the question to look at a 5% increase year after year of the transient occupancy tax. That's very conservative based on the past history of Morro Bay. Hundreds of thousands of dollars will be included then to be able to budget better for Morro Bay and include tourism promotion. So I ask your support in looking at increasing our budget to the requested amount. Thank you.
Thank you. Good timing. Anyone else?
Good evening, Mayor, City Council members, and the staff. I'm Peter Candela, Chamber, Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce. I guess the what I want to get across is that when I took over the position of the CEO at the Chamber, we needed to increase, first of all, I think we needed to increase communication between all parties, and I think we have done just that. We also needed to increase our tourism and visitors to Morro Bay. We took an aggressive stance as a chamber and went out on a limb a little bit and created a couple of more events. The first event was the Kite Festival. We didn't know if 200 or 500 people were going to show up, but with the help of the promotion committee, with John Sergen Fry, we had estimated, it's hard to guess, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people enjoying the day. It was a family-oriented festival, a complete success in our eyes, even though we may have lost a little money on this because it was our first event, but it still helped us to understand what it takes to bring people into this city. It takes advertising. It takes a community effort. It takes the city staff and the chamber and other organizations to work together to make this all work. I guess I'm here to also say that with that increase of $40,000 that happened in the last end of this last fiscal year has allowed us to allow John to advertise on behalf of the chamber. We have received phone calls from LA, from Bakersfield, from Fresno, where the ads have been placed. A well-placed ad is worth its weight in gold. But if we don't have enough money to do that, I just don't see how we can continue promoting events that are going to be successful. And we don't always look at success as the number of dollars made, but in the chamber, it's the number of dollars generated through our hotels and restaurants and through our businesses. So I'd hope you'd reconsider and see if we can find some money and some way of putting back or an additional $40,000 back into that promotional committee fund. I could see it firsthand how it works for us. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, council members, and staff, my name is Stan Trapp. I have Marina Square in Morro Bay. I'm going to zero in on Ms. Slayton's phrase, increasing revenue stream. It's extremely disappointing and frustrating for me that city staff's budget recommendation was not to increase the contribution level to the SLO VCB, nor continue the increased funding for the promotional committee. Through our business forum, many of us have tried for over a year to impress the city that the economic dangers that face Morro Bay with sluggish retail sales, which has resulted in increased business failure and higher than normal tenant vacancy factor. We also are sorry to say that we have subpar hotel occupancy rate, which is the lowest in the county. We have repeatedly recommended that although staff continues to look at reducing expenses, it needs to focus on creating more dollars through creating an increased revenue stream. The surest way to achieve that is not through raising taxes or fees, but through attracting a larger number of tourists to our city, and that takes advertising dollars. Morro Bay has an amazing number of active volunteers. It also currently enjoys a very creative and accomplished Chamber of Commerce, as just described. With the number of special events greatly increased in 2006, we are poised to show off Morro Bay as never been shown off before. However, we have to have promotional and advertising dollars to attract visitors to those events, or these events will just be a waste of time. I know it will not be easy, but the money must be found from whatever contingency fund you can find.
Nice. And I want to thank you for holding this public hearing on our budget. It's important. The challenges you face to decide what to do with limited resources and still provide essential services are challenging. And I don't envy what you have to do and what you have to face. And I do recognize that you're all doing your best, as we all are. And getting an agreement from the passions of the groups that call Morro Bay home is not easy. Perhaps it's not possible. As a business owner in Morro Bay for the past 28 years, I can appreciate your challenges. What you do matters, and it affects our economy. Directly, my business does not benefit from tourism. Indirectly, it does. Advertising and promotion is an investment. When the city is promoted and the chamber is doing what it can, as is every business, then you see an increase of tourism and TOT, and the city directly benefits, although it is delayed. My goal for the chamber, which I'm involved with, is to benefit our members, many who are in the tourist business, and our community. So we hold family-oriented events that do not tax or minimize the taxes of services on our public safety departments, but fill our hotels and restaurants. When the chamber does hold a successful event, we give grants to worthy community-related causes. I think you understand. Using the Kite Festival as an example, which was held recently, my daughter came to town and I wanted to go to a restaurant on the Embarcadero. Problem was, the Embarcadero was too busy. So we went to North Morro Bay, where there are several restaurants, and they were also busy. The motels were filled up. Now, part of it may be the weather, but we also recognize that advertising let people know that there was a reason to come to Morro Bay, and the Kite Festival was a good reason to bring your family, and they did. I feel, and I think we all recognize, that we're in this together, and so what we have is a partnership. And I believe that the partnership between the business community and local government has improved. The business forum has been a big part of increasing the communication that's needed. Increasing advertising and promotion will improve the business community, resulting in higher TOT and sales tax, and also take advantage of the multiplying fact of money, which I've mentioned before, and I think there are some. I urge you to support tourism, support the visitor center, support the promotion committee, and advertise Morro Bay. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we'll bring it back to council. Okay, where do we want to start? Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Ed had a question. Susan.
Thanks, yes, Rick. If you look at page 4 of the budget, and you'll see the line that says sales and use tax, $1,200,000. Right below it is sales tax, public safety, $172,000. I added those two numbers together. So I can see where that would be a little misleading. But that's, since it is a sales tax, I went ahead and lumped them.
Okay, is that's the question? Okay. All right, so where do we want to start with our discussion, folks? Okay, Melody?
To lead by example, I wanted to go to the council budget request. I'm just wondering why supplies go up 10 times.
What page are you on, first of all? Sorry.
Page 8 in the binder budget here.
Okay.
Page 8 or page 6?
Oh, sorry, 6. I didn't get my bifocals adjusted properly.
Page six. Okay.
So you'll see that supplies go from an actual 491 to a budget request of 4,745. So I don't know why that happened. And I don't know why services nearly double from 14,000 to 26,000. So I was wondering if somebody could tell me why council seems to be spending more, so much more money. Maybe that's Mr. Hendricks or Ms. Slayton.
I can take care of that. The amended budget was the actuals for 2005-2006 are actual expenditures. The amended budget is what was adopted at 06-07. I rolled that budget forward into 07-08 and 08-09 with no increases. So if you find that there are discrepancies there, rather than me cut your budget, I felt more prudent just to roll it forward and let you make that decision.
So in other words, we've been very thrifty. That's why it shows
you
up at such a
very
low rate.
Yes.
Okay. I think we should continue our thriftiness instead of having this go 10 times the amount and double the amount. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. And then
we do have one thing coming up this year.
6 points, and I'll share this with at least you, Rick. And this year in our budget resolution, we have only 5. And the one that somebody decided to take off was the one that said last year, the city council directs that the hiring freeze for positions in the city workforce continue for those positions funded within the general fund, and the city council reserves the right to review any vacancies on a case-by-case basis as to its official policy. And I'm wondering if somebody on either Mr. Hendricks or Ms. Layton could tell me why you took number 6 off this year's resolution.
I'll let Susan comment first, and then I would like to comment.
Because the hiring freeze is in place, making that statement reiterates the hiring freeze, but we do know the hiring freeze is in place and do know that we do have to bring those things back to you. So I left it out. When I left it out, I thought that it would, I guess I kind of dropped it off, and then I realized that it was sort of like a redundant statement, and so I left it out.
I don't think it's,
well. Well, may I comment?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I believe the budget is your plan, your financial plan for the year. This budget calls for a certain allocation of positions, and it funds them through the 12-month period. If the council and its collective wisdom feels that the budget should be altered in some way so that fewer positions were funded for the next 12 months, those decisions should be made at this point rather than during the year on the random occasion of a vacant position. That's my belief. So if we have a plan, we should execute the plan that we have, whatever that is, and then as we go forward, we would make a new plan for the following year. This is our plan and our projection.
Why do you suppose we put it on the resolution last year then? Because that was our plan and our projection. It just sort of feels safer to have it on. You don't have an idea on that one? Okay. Well, just to point it out that it's not there. I'll let go of the questions and stuff.
Okay. Rick?
Well, Susan, I can tell what you've been doing lately. Thank you very much for the presentation. And I would like to ask your opinion on one of the comments that were made about the TOT being higher than it was last year and significant
on TOT. It was not coming in as strongly as it had at the end of 05-06. So I scaled the number back to what I think it was, just I rounded it for what I got off the projection. But I started listening to what was happening with our tourism and our hotels and what was going on and what I was hearing, and I thought I would increase it slightly for the 07-08 year, which I did. I bumped it up by $45,000, and then I also made a bump for the 07-08 year, or 08-09 year.
Right.
So I have increased it from what it was amended to, but that was, you know, more the projections that I had off the system. And I just was more comfortable being conservative than in going with a really high number, having it fail, and having to come in and say, my TOT numbers didn't come in. Oops. Now what do we do?
Right.
May I offer a comment as well?
Certainly.
I think any individual revenue estimate we have in the budget may be subject for discussion, as was pointed out by Mr. Bugini earlier. However, if you look at the budget from an overview or a budget-wide perspective, we clearly have a financial issue here in the general fund. And so if we start being more, what would the word be, optimistic in terms of what we think we're going to generate in individual revenues in order to fund additional program or new programs, you could look at that as actually worsening our overall financial picture in the general fund, because we really are, in an aggregate sense, very tight in the general fund. So I would ask everybody to kind of keep that in mind as you weigh the arguments about these individual revenue items being either too small or not growing rapidly enough or that sort of thing. Thanks.
Anyway, Susan, thank you for your candor about where we sit. And the you know, the need for the ongoing revenue, and I certainly support your idea on that also. Anyway, thanks very much.
Bill?
I don't have any all the cutbacks and everything. And I, on the one hand, while I hope the predictions are right that the TOT will be higher, I also can see the wisdom in being a little conservative and being pleasantly surprised later.
Yeah. I have a few questions, maybe six. I'll start back with the roundabout question. Since that's from a previous capital project, then any city funds that would be used on that, is that money that's already in there as well, or is there money in the current or the next year's budget that will also be used?
One of the very intelligent things that the city of Morro Bay has done is fund its capital projects with cash. Every time a capital project is budgeted, that cash is removed from that fund and put into the capital projects fund. It is a fabulous idea, because there is no worry at that point about, gee, the operating fund isn't doing so well. Whoops, we've got these guys out here doing this thing. So yes, the money for every project that's budgeted is sitting aside in a capital project fund.
And there's no way to take that out unless the council decides we don't want to do the roundabout and then we could use the money for something else?
That would be correct. We would have to make sure that there were no contractual obligations at that point, and that, yes, that's accurate.
Okay. On the sewer fund, you said that it's at zero. Is that because our sewer increase fees have been working and we're up to snuff now, or where do we stand with that?
No, the zero net income or loss is simply a number. Whatever I arrived at the bottom line, I shift up into the accumulation fund so that it moves over into the reserve, and that way it can be used for capital projects. That number can change. And so the number that I've got in there, it's just an arbitrary figure.
So how do we know whether we need to increase fees just to maintain what we've already got, let alone do new things?
Well, the need to increase fees will be based on the information that we have regarding the wastewater treatment plant.
And not even looking at that, just the way we're operating right now with our sewer, are we breaking even or not? And like, is there even a need to continue to increase, even if we weren't going to do anything with the wastewater treatment plant?
If we weren't going to do anything with the wastewater treatment plant, we would still be in a position where our accumulation fund is not sufficient to cover the projects that we have online. There are collection systems projects mm-hmm. that need to be done. Mm-hmm. We do not have the sufficient cash in their reserve now. So the increases that we've already got in place that are going to the accumulation fund. I believe we had an extra...
Where would I find that?
Let me look before I speak and misspeak. On page 42, I actually show that based on the expenditures, the proposed expenditures, the accumulation fund would wind up having a transfer would be made from the revenue fund into the accumulation fund of $60,000. That's all. If there were savings within the expenditures, that number could increase.
Okay.
So there is at least $60,000 net income, so to speak, that I'm saying will go to the reserve fund.
But you don't know if that's true for the end of this year, or you think the end of this year will also break even?
That I don't know.
Okay. The harbor debt, maybe is that Mr. Algert's question what that's about, or can you say what that's about?
I think he would be the better one to describe it because I didn't bring anything on that.
So the budgeted, about $135,000. It's the DBW loan. I think we're in about year 11, longer than that because it commenced in 1992 and it was a 30-year loan, $135,000 per year.
Is that what was on the overhead? I thought it was only like $32,000. Can I look for just a second here?
It's broken out in principal and interest, so they're two different numbers. They total up $135,000 approximately.
I don't know where it is, Bill. Harbor. Nope,
I did have it on the overhead as $135,000 in other expenses. I didn't label it as debt service.
Okay. And... So you're not, how does that work? So that's paid a little bit at a time, and until it's all paid off, it's shown as a debt, but we know that it's because it's paying off like a loan.
And, that's correct.
Okay, and so each year that will come down.
The number will stay the same because what will happen is your principal and interest components will just shift. You'll have more going to principal, kind of like your house payment.
Okay.
You'll have more going into principal, less on interest as you go further along in the loan.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Engineering. Okay. Fire service. Coastal permits and conditional use permits, are those under your department? They're further up under licenses and permits, about halfway up the page.
Right. I think what we did was kind of following along Susan's lines is that based on the caseload that we've seen this year, we've adjusted that slightly downward.
Okay.
So, but again, it's a very conservative approach.
Mm-hmm. And then, Mr. Hendricks, under your budget, there seems to be a $40,000 increase. Is that for something, one item, or lots of little things?
Well, let me see.
I can actually answer that for Mr. Hendricks.
Okay.
In the 2006-2007 budget, there was a plan for $45,000 of labor costs to be transferred out. In other words, he must have had a plan to charge other departments for part of his salary. That didn't appear as if it was happening to me. I removed that. And that was showing as a negative or a reduction in his personnel costs. When I removed it, it looks as if his personnel costs added. But if you were to add those prior amounts and look at those separately, and you would see that on the detail. You'd see the $45,000, remove that component, and it pushed straight across. That's what it was.
It was actually, now that it's been explained to me, it was actually two components, and they related to the cost for Janine, and they were being billed back to two specific programs. I believe one was solid waste, and the other had to do with the transit program. Mm-hmm. But apparently we never made those transfers, so.
Okay. Thanks. I think that was it.
Okay, Rick, you had something?
Yeah. Just one question for Susan. Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't those to reinvest those very, very conservative? And isn't that the bulk of our investments?
It is a very good portion.
And so what do you see happening along those lines?
I can tell you right now that when those investments were made, that was the top dollar at the time. Things have definitely changed. And right now, the local agency investment fund is earning 5.22%. Those investments are earning very low threes. So you're looking at 200 basis points at least that we would be getting if we had that money available to us now. It's hard to say what would happen in 2009. If things continue like they are, I would say we would be looking at investing them at about 5.75 all the way up to 6%.
Okay, and this is a 2007 to 2009. We're not even considering those projections, are we now?
No, we are not.
Okay.
Okay, I've got a couple questions. First of all, on page 5, under public services street maintenance, why is the estimated expenditure for street maintenance going down in the next 2 years?
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
There was an error in the budget in 2006-2007. $45,000 was included in the operating budget for ADA compliance. And it was also included at mid-year in the capital projects. So I realized that we were, in a sense, double-dipping, and I removed it out of the operating budget, which is where it wasn't supposed to be,
okay,
and moved it down into capital projects.
Okay. I wanted to make sure we were still fixing as many streets.
Yes.
And also on that same page under elections. I know that because we're now going to have a primary election that we're going to bear the cost of that, but why are we bearing it in 07-08 as well as 08-09?
When I spoke to Mr. Hendricks about the elections budget, he said that I needed to add money in to cover elections. I added it in for the 07-08 budget and just left it through, so I could have actually added it in the wrong year.
Because it seems to me that will only be an expense that we have to face once every 2 years. So, Bridget's saying no, that's not true. $1,000 increase, and we're going to have that every year.
Depending on how much a primary election is going to cost, which will be June of 2008.
I know, and I can see that when we get to that election, and I understand it comes in the middle of a budget year. I appreciate that. But why would it not be $18,000 per budget year to make that $36,000 every 2 years?
I can't answer that question.
I mean, Susan, does that sound reasonable?
I understand what you're saying, and unfortunately, Mr. Hendricks isn't here to tell us.
Well, where did he go?
I think he bailed out, so he didn't have to do it. Okay. But I can't answer that question. Like I said, that was something that when I spoke to him, he said add $30,000 in to cover the elections. It could have been $15,000. I never clarified it, and that's my error in that mm-hmm. sense. If truly it should have been a 15-15 split. So I
okay.
think we'll have
well,
to
because that would make
returns.
A difference. That would give us another $15,000.
That would definitely give us another $15,000.
So that certainly could help with some of the requests we've had. So anyhow, that's something that when Mr. Hendricks comes back, perhaps we can clarify that. And the just one comment. Oh, there he is. We missed you. I'll wait till you sit down.
What took you so long?
We had a question about on page 5 of the budget where we're talking about $36,800 budgeted for elections in both the 07-08 year and the 08-09 year. Now, I understand that the activity will take place across our budget year, but at the same time, isn't that the total amount for the election, and could it not be divided in half for our budgeting purposes?
Well, traditionally, we have bumped every other year in the elections budget because every right. other year there's activity. What's going to change now, potentially, now it may not change, but what potentially could change is that because of the new rules for the city council elections, that first election would be in June, which right. would be in right. the prior fiscal year. So right. those costs would be reflected a year earlier than they would normally be. So the practical effect of that is you're going to have a more level annual cost in elections from here on out because you're reflecting elections in every year, even though...
So we got $30,000 every year that we're adding, yeah. which seems excessive. That's what I'm saying, for something that only happens every 2 years.
Well,
would it not be half of that and still yeah. cover the $30,000 extra cost, yeah. which everybody should realize is coming from this primary thing that we all voted for? Well, some of us didn't, but a lot of you did. So that's one of the things we have to bear with this new budget. But it seems to me that we would only have to budget $15,000 a year to make that difference of $30,000
every two. No, I disagree, because we're on our own for the primary.
I understand.
It's not something where we're going to participate in somebody else's election. We're going to have a ballot with our own people on it, and we'll have...
Right.
You know, we'll have a significant part in there.
But
so,
is that basically going to cost us $60,000 to do that?
Over 2 years, yes.
I don't understand how it could. I can't.
If
understand.
You have an election every 2 years, you're spending $72,000 for an election, aren't you?
You have a primary in June, and you have a general election in November, plus anything else that.
But we don't spend $30,000 on a general election, do we? Here in Morro Bay.
It depends on what part we have in the election. In other words, if we don't have any items on the election, or maybe we have one major or something, our financial obligation is relatively small. But the more activity we have on the election, the larger percentage of the cost the city bears, because we're a bigger partner.
And Mr. Hendy, if I could jump in, might it also be if we're the only ones having an election in June, we have to fund all the booths, all the people, all the materials. Yeah. So we are, in essence, funding the whole election,
right?
Which could be substantial. Well,
we certainly hope that we don't spend that kind of money every year, but we felt that it would be appropriate for us to make the money available to have it there, because if we got to that point and we were to have the election and we didn't have the money, that would not be a good situation either. So
we'll know more after the next June.
Probably
after
the
June.
Best of all worlds would be if we go through this and we don't have any scenarios that require us to have a June election at all, and so the money can simply be rolled over into the next year's year's budget.
Well, but every other 2 year cycle, you're going to have a general election. So that's not going to change. It's just whether we have, I mean, it's the fact that we have to have a primary first. And I'm still trying to...
No, I'm saying, let's say you have a scenario where you don't have any council action in June. We don't incur a big expense because we don't have council primaries in June. The scenario didn't require that, hypothetically.
You mean like last year?
Yeah, like, okay. Sort of like last year.
Okay.
Then what would happen is we wouldn't spend that money, and at the end of the year, then of course it would be available again, and the money in the following budget would remain the same. So you could see those dollars migrating from 1 year to the next to cover the budget. You wouldn't be spending $60,000 in essence. You'd only be spending what you have to spend to cover the costs of the election. But because we're looking at 2 years, you see it here and you see it here. Does that make any sense to you? It shows up in both places.
No, I understand what you're saying. It just seems that we're stockpiling big bucks for an election when we need small bucks for promotion.
Well, actually, yeah. Well, actually, we don't know. That's true. I wish we did, but we wouldn't put it in there if we didn't feel it was necessary to, in order to cover potentially the expenses. And I hope that's not true. Mm-hmm. And I hope that as life goes on, we find we can pare the election budget down quite a bit, and that these costs that we've been talking about turn out to be something that's a relatively rare event, or that they're not really as anticipated, and that way we can reduce the budget in the elections area. But I'd rather have, particularly given our financial situation, I'd much rather have the money appropriated in there and available for those costs if we run into them than not. The city doesn't really operate with a central contingency fund of some sort where you would draw money down from the bank, so to speak, if something unforeseen happened. So it just seems prudent to account for them.
Okay. And then the other, well, I know we do this every year with the agencies, and I know it's not much money, but I'm looking at a city that is struggling very hard. And do we still want to be as generous to all of these folks? I don't know if that's even something we want to talk about. Page is 33. And now we have another request for hotline for $2,000. It's a total of $22,000 all told. So it doesn't add up to a whole lot. But if we could get $10,000 out of that to put toward budget, comes so much of our revenue comes from TOT in a much greater percentage than in other cities. Paso, San Luis Obispo, Arroyo Grande, they all have a lot of other things that bring in more revenue than TOT. Morro Bay relies heavily on TOT for our general fund expenses. We have to, because it's basically what we have. So that isn't answered by a number of rooms basis. So just throwing that out there. Well, what do you think? Yeah, Melody.
I'm actually sitting here kind of restrained. So I'd like to get one thing just kind of out of the way, and it has to do with Chief Drohan and the police department and the wish to buy new cars, if I could talk with you for a little bit. Measure Q money, we talked, the council decided that 10% of the Measure Q money would go to both you and Chief Pond. And it looks like you've become agreeable that you would take the lion's share of that and buy 4 to 5 vehicles and finance them. True?
Yes.
Okay. And you were good enough to send all of us this list of the vehicles that you have in the fleet, and I can certainly understand that you have to start replacing them and agree with you. The place where I get into a little trouble is with this is that we are using Measure Q money for it, and that we're going to create a debt load. True? Could you tell me the plan? It's 3 cars or 4 cars or how many cars, and then over how many years of debt that you're deciding or thinking that you'll do this? If we could just hear that.
What we've talked about from the staff level with the finance department, the city manager, is to try to get back on track with our depreciation plan and finance the vehicles over the depreciable life. For example, currently we buy Ford Crown Victorias and a Ford Expedition for our marked police cars. Ford has a special municipal financing program at a very low rate, and it's generally 3 years. And I think they do that because generally with all police agencies, depreciable life is 2 to 3 years of a marked patrol car, depending on how big the agency is, how much it gets driven. The unmarked vehicles, the depreciable life is generally 4 to 5 years, and so we were thinking maybe we could depreciate or finance them over a little bit longer period to get the vehicles on an ongoing basis. Then we can keep up with our depreciation plan.
Well, and I certainly was surprised to see that you have your 2,000 cars that y'all are driving. I thought they were like these 2004s, but you've got at least 3 cars that are pre-2000.
Mm-hmm. We try to stretch them as long as we can.
And you also said that you would gain some of the money back by selling off the cars that you're replacing.
The advantage of that is when we purchase the vehicles, if we can trade in our cars, what we found is that the dealerships give us more trade-in allowance than what we would get in an auction. What that allows us to do by trading it in, it offsets the purchase price, and so we pay less for the vehicle right at the time of the purchase. So we feel that that's an advantage.
Okay, so here's my problem for council. First of all, I just bought a new car, so I understand what you're doing, and I wish I could have gotten your interest rate. My problem is that we do this with Measure Q money. And so it's making a basic assumption about the percentages garnered by each of the funds over the next 3 or 4 years. It also creates debt load for the city that, say, if something comes up with storm drains or something comes up, you know, with the fire department's incurring huge debts and huge, not debts, but huge costs over the next 15 years.
Have a debt too.
So I get a little concerned at this plan. I think it's a smart plan. Like, you know, I financed my car for 4 years, but I think that it's because of the Measure Q link and the fact that we don't even know for sure that we're getting $650,000. We still have to wait and see how the sales tax goes, and then we don't even know for sure as we look ahead in the crystal ball about 4 years. I was wondering if you were to pay cash for cars with about the $55,000 or so, do you think you could get a marked car and an unmarked car for $55,000?
Well,
like two of them.
It all depends. The Crown Victoria, once you purchase it, you have to buy the equipment and the changeover costs from the old.
In the same way, public safety money's going the same way, then we wouldn't have any debt load. We would know what money we had, and we would have the four cars within 2 years instead of having two. I'm just being really conservative, and I'm also being mindful that this is Q money. Okay.
If I can respond to that,
yes,
and I can appreciate that, and we certainly feel the same way. The problem is we've already deferred purchase for 2 years, and we need to catch up. So if we only get two this year, each year after that, we're going to be so far behind that we're going to be driving cars with so much mileage they're unsafe. And that's my concern, that we got to get caught up right now.
Thank you. Then I think I'd like to just go down my list of issues since I made this nice list. Is that okay? Okay. My first issue was about the software assumption that I talked about. And the political realities have to do with the power plant, the natural gas forecast staying at $225,000. And also I gave to council and to the finance director and to Mr. Hendricks page 12 out of the outfall lease. And in section 4.2.4, it says that at any time the power plant owner could give us a notice of cessation of service. And when they do that, the CDF money doesn't come to us. And I did a little equation today about it, but I think anybody could do that. If they were to give it to us today, that they were going to cease service, then as of January of next year, we get a prorated CDF. In other words, that we've got about $700,000 worth of money from the power plant that we really don't know we're going to get. We hope so. Well, I think the natural gas we'll get if hydroelectric goes down, which it probably will because of the drought and such up in the Sierras and the PG&E contract. That one's okay. I don't like it that there's no assurance on the 0809 survival, that there's no way, and I've talked with Susan, there is no way she can assure me there's any survival for the city in 0809.
I'm sorry, for the what?
Survival. Balanced budget.
Oh.
I don't, I've never liked this change in reserves, that it just goes down, down, down. I think we do the same thing every year. I think when she read that quote from Mr. Kozer, which I put in here somewhere from 19, or 2005, we have developed housing in this town like crazy, had an impact on our infrastructure with no real revenue from it. We might decide, it's not sure at all about the Morrow Dunes thing, but we might decide, based on a study that's ongoing right now with staff, to have that as an ongoing, but I'm not assured that that's enough to take care of these raises every year. Also, when I look at this transfer sheet that we all have here, we actually transfer money, and I think the public should know that we transfer about $2,600,000 around. A lot of this is really valid transfers, I think. It's to pay bills, you know, to pay for ongoing services. But of the money that was transferred, that $2,600,000, 41% of all those transfers went to support the general fund, to make the general fund pay for itself, to balance it this year. And I just don't know how long we can keep, I hate cliches, but rob from Peter to pay Paul, you know, to keep drawing down on these other funds to keep that going. I also agree, too, that we should have these open discussions about no more outside consultants. We hire a lot of consultants to do projects for nothing results. We do hire some outside consultants, that gentleman should know, that are required by law. We have to, and that's fine. I want number 6 added back into the resolution. I want us to know on a case-by-case basis what's going on with the hiring freeze and how we're filling. And we will probably try to stay even, I'm sure, but I just want council to have it in the... It was in last year's resolution. I don't know why it isn't in this year, just as a matter of course. I thought it was basically so Ms. Slayton could fit the whole resolution on one page. I don't like the increases to council's budget, and I don't like this. I agree with you, Janice, about this thing about the elections. I keep looking at the elections and looking at it, and I keep listening and listening, and I can't understand it. I cannot understand it. I also am a great fan of the Promotions Committee, and I absolutely believe that you have to invest to get back money. However, and I see the money, too, Mr. Biagini. I see the money in that silly elections fund. And I think that's all I had to say. And then the last thing I would just suggest, too, just to Ms. Slayton, is on the resolution itself, before anything gets passed, that you check which year on number 5. And then that's all I have to say.
Okay, how do you feel about aid to agencies?
Oh, the aid to agencies, I think we've inflated our Natural History Association to $3,500. They've gotten a lot of assistance just the last few years from other organizations, shall we say, and they've had an entire renovation. And I would like to take $1,500 from them away and spread it through the others, and I really don't care how it goes, so that everybody can come up a little bit more and nobody exceeds $2,000. I like supporting Hotline. I don't know that they need the whole $2,000, but we could take $1,500 from Natural History and give it to Hotline if we wanted to. Or we could give it to the American Red Cross.
800.
But I think the Natural History Association should come down and in line with the other people, and nobody should be over 2,000. And we should obey Ms. Slayton about the bottom line there. But I have lots of problems with this budget, and they're nothing to do with small decisions, nothing to do with anything that. I am so grateful that I have a staff, okay, and that all I have to do is read bottom lines, you know. But it's the bottom line here, and it's policy level stuff that I'm talking about, having to do with Q and how it gets used, having to do with what we believe the power plant will bring to this town over the next few years, having to do with passing a budget that we've been warned about for at least 4 years. That we can't keep spending this way until we can find some kind of revenues to match that kind of spending. So those are my issues with this budget. And I do want that money to go to promotions at mid-year.
How much?
Same as last year, 40.
40,000.
In fact, when I took the election money,
Well, I'm looking at that, and if we can pair, you know, 10,000 from someplace else, we
10,000 out of council easily.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think we can get 10,000 out of council because only 4,700 is budgeted. So
no, Janice. There's if we look at the council.
Page six.
I would love to have a table of contents on this document next year. I like it that it's a little small document, but I still...
Money that you would use to attend League of City events, finance retreat, that sort of stuff.
We're looking at the services line?
There's a series of sub-items, but that's the services.
Then what supplies? I thought supplies was that.
No, supplies is objects.
How come we went from $2,300 to $491 from 04 to 05? What objects didn't we get? I thought the cookies were donated.
Thing, are you talking about supplies now?
Yeah.
There are things like oil, office supplies, gasoline if you buy it, paper, printing forms, trophies, you know, those the things that we have printed up and plaques to make to go out, that sort of thing.
But we've given away plenty, and it's 491, and now it's going up to 4,700. I don't plan on giving a lot more.
In supplies also is the $7,500. That's the council contingency for discretionary money.
That's under contingency. And the problem with this budget, of course, is that we really can't see things as a council, the little things, but we can see the bottom line, and I think I would have council look at page 6 and see that services go from 14,000 to 26. I think at mid-year we're going to adjust that 36.8 that goes into that mysterious election, and we're going to take about 12 grand out of council's hide somewhere, and we're going to probably give it to promo. That's what I would like to do at all, at least at mid-year budget review. I mean, I can see the 40,000 easily in those two things.
Yeah, okay. All right, so Melody's got those issues and I've made notes on them. Rick, how about you?
I'm all right now.
Okay, Bill?
Basically, I'm all right right now, but I would say that I'm going to guess that when everything is said and done, we can probably take $10,000 out of services and
for council.
Yeah, and probably $2,000 out of supplies and not be any worse off than we have been. So we could pull an easy $12,000 out of council and not feel it, and I would say that we look at that in mid-year budget if we haven't gotten there. Otherwise, I'm good to go.
I can agree with the 10. I'd be a little concerned with pulling 12 just because if we do have this workshop that we are trying to
wise, and there's no reason not to. I would go a step further and suggest we knock another 500 off of each of our contingencies if people are willing to do that.
Not me.
But that's where that is. When I was listening to the presentation, I think I heard Ms. Slayton say that the increases that the police department is asking for are not offset anywhere. And at least this past year, when we said we wanted to spend something, we had to find the money somewhere. So one of my first concerns is, where are we getting that money to offset that? And this could be part of the $12,000. I don't know. I like the idea of waiting till mid-year to see where we are with our TOT, to see if we increase promotions or VCB or whoever gets that money. I think we need to wait at least until the second quarter's in or the end of this year's done so we can see where we are. So I agree with that. I agree with putting the motion back in the resolution concerning reviewing staff. And again, I would go a step further and say if we lose staff, we do not rehire. If we don't start doing something different, I don't think that the debt that's going to come up next year, I don't see why it's not going to happen this year. And we haven't faced that, and we've got to start talking about it. And I agree, we heard it from the audience tonight. But we have to start acting differently. And so not only should that go back in, but if someone leaves for whatever reason,
they don't get replaced.
I think that kind of would have to depend on who it was.
I don't think so.
There are some positions.
Okay, the fire chief leaves, the police chief leaves, and we don't have fire or police.
Well, let me finish. I've got the floor, thanks. What I'm saying is that we rearrange and you do what you have to do. That's what you do, because what's going to happen next year is we're going to face layoffs. Okay, that's the bottom line. That's right. What's coming. So if someone leaves this year, we don't replace, that's one less layoff in the next year. And
well,
that's
with layoffs,
the emotional reality.
You have the choice of where you want to reduce your
it depends
staff.
On
the, you
it,
can't do it by just
but,
somebody
but
having
we'll,
to leave.
But we'll look at that. We'll look at that when it comes up. I mean, that's the way the process is set up, mm-hmm. that we're not saying that. I'm saying that's where I'm going to be coming from.
Okay.
Okay? It doesn't mean you guys have to come from
okay.
there. Okay? But that's what that's where I'm going to be coming from. Okay. Another radical thing would be forget the roundabout, give the money back to Slocog, whatever we owe them. Let us take that money and do with it some other way. We've got a number of public works projects we need to work on. If there's cash that we're using, Dix and I don't agree on a lot, but I agree with him totally on this election thing. We don't know how much it's going to cost. I think the money has to be there. If we find out we're not using it, fine. But we've got to have it there for the first time to go through that experience to know what it's going to cost us.
Okay.
All right. I don't think using Measure Q money for getting the police cars is an inappropriate way to use it. I can remember working on the Measure Q Council and the brochures, and it was streets, fire, police, and that's what the citizens voted for. So. Also, I'm a big fan of promotions, and I think, yeah, we will benefit from promotion. But I'm also trying to be responsible and say, and I think everybody agrees with they'd like to give promotions more money. I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is, like Betty said, I think it'd be prudent to wait a couple of months at least, find out where we're coming, how we're looking, what the projections are then. And but it's certainly something I think it has the support of the entire council. And there was one other thing, but I can't remember it, so maybe it'll come back.
Okay. All right. How many miles per year do you put on a police car generally?
It varies. The marked units are probably somewhere around 30,000 a year.
Okay.
Our marked units depends on who it's assigned to and what it's used for.
Okay. So out of five
but if you
cars
look at
there, they'd all trip the $100,000 mark in
Madam,
a year.
Madam Mayor, may I comment on that as well?
Yes.
Not speaking now about the unmarked cars, but the marked cars, the patrol cars, the mileage on the patrol cars is only part of the picture because of the way those cars are used.
Yeah.
And a more reasonable industry standard would be around 70,000 miles.
Okay, yeah. All right, yeah, I don't have any problem with that. I think that however those vehicles are acquired, whether they're financed or purchased, I think that that's an absolutely correct use of Measure Q money. The Measure Q committee has already said that to us based on that, and they're wanting to finance it. We've given police a very small percentage, and thank you, Chief Pond, for giving that to the police department. And they did work very hard on Measure Q, and hopefully those, you know, as the fire department becomes less needy, those and putting it towards promotion. I know that with promotion you have to do ads and things in advance. If you got 20,000 now and 20,000 later when we get the final TOT in, does that just nod your head? Does that still allow you to make the ad deadlines, most of them, that you would need? It does not. You have to do it beginning of the year. Does anybody want to hear him elaborate on that?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Mr. Biagini, would you please come in and tell us about how that works? Because I know there's buys that you have to do early on.
When we hadn't previously allocated the $40,000, it was something that we wanted to do that you gave us earlier this year. And we had a plan that was in place if we got that money of what we would do with that money, and we came to you with that plan when we made our request. Mm-hmm. We would not budget on the what if. When you pass our budget, we'll take whatever money you give us, and we will develop a marketing plan with that in mind, with you saying, come and talk to us, you know, I'll be here in 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, letting you know exactly what the TOT looks like. But that being said, we won't plan on the money until we actually know that we're going to get the money. So we don't commit ourselves. So it won't be the same. We won't be able to place, say, 5 ads in Sunset instead of 4, because that does take some advance stuff to do. But you may end up seeing more ads in the San Joaquin Valley, which you can do just like that with regards to next year's Kite Festival and next year's Jazz Festival or whatever, for the Fireman's Muster, whatever it is. So it won't be a waste if you wait, and it'll be planned different to spend it.
Okay, thank you. Because I know previously we've done that. We've given them a small amount at the beginning and then said mid-year review. If the TOT does show a great increase, that we would give them the rest. So given that scenario and $12,000 coming out of the council budget, I would say that we could go $20,000 to promotions now and then mid-year budget look at it.
Madam Mayor, when I agreed to take out the $12,000 from city council, it was not to go to promotions now.
Okay.
Mine was to take it out and put it wherever to supplement the increase that's going to go to the police department.
Okay.
We have not only are they getting an increase of $65,000 for Measure Q, but they're also getting another increase in the budget this year that other departments are not getting. Mm-hmm. And that's not covered in any offset that I can see. So that's some
items. So the extra money requested by public safety is covered in the budget. I recognize, as I think most of us do, that tourism being our primary and only source of income, we need to be able to put as much money as comfortably possible into promotion. I agree with the idea of 20 now and 20 later to the to our promotions committee. I would also like to consider at some point down the road the difference in the funding for the VCB, but I don't know where we're going to find it. I mean, that would entail us to do both those things. We'd have to find $75,000 somewhere, and that right now at this moment that hurts. But if we can generate it mid-year, I would like to be able to see us put that forward. If in fact TOT comes up with that or more, I would like to take that and put it in that direction.
Can I respond to something Mr. Pierce said? And that is, if you look on page 5 for expenditures, you'll see that the attorney's office, the finance department, the parks and rec, general services, all these things are maintaining or are less. And the police department and the fire department are both going up. So are you making the assumption that that's okay, that those departments get to increase in a time when everyone is staying the same or going less, and yet we're increasing those budgets? And we haven't had that discussion yet either.
Well, you know, that's not our discussion. Actually,
I think it is our discussion.
Our discussion is to set priorities, and then we have that gentleman sitting there hired to talk to his employees to decide how they want to pair this thing up. Our job is not to say, well, you get a dollar, so that means you have to get a dollar. That's called micromanaging.
I'm not saying that. I think what I'm saying is, because we're talking philosophy here and priority, is it our priority then that the police department's budget continues to grow while every other department does not?
I think our priority has to be to have the city manager and the department has decide where the best need is and put money towards that. The departments don't all now get the same equal portion of the pie.
Right.
Some departments get more than others. Some employees in those departments are paid more than employees in other departments. The point is, these folks are supposed to sit down and say, this is what we've got to do. This is what we've got to do it with. This is how we're going to do it the best way. Then they come back to us, and if we say, okay, for this year we can live with that, we do it. Next year is probably going to be 7 kinds of hell. But right now, we have a balanced budget, and they want to do it this way, and they're the folks that know what they're doing with it. I mean, I'm no expert in what police departments need.
City managers control, or the finance directors control completely. Having said that, we've given you a financial plan we think that is as tight as we can get it, reasonably. And I would agree with Councilmember Pierce that we've given you our best effort at a balanced program here that keeps the city programs intact. Now, if you want to change the mix of city programs, that's a discussion that the council could have and change the way we spend money by changing our program mix. But if we want to maintain our programs right now, this formula that we gave you will do that for the next year as best as we can forecast it. The whole idea of trying to mix these things together is becoming increasingly problematic for us each year. We started doing this 2 years ago, you know, and this budget that you're looking at is very, very tight, and if there isn't any real fat or wiggle room in it at all. You've talked about some things that may or may not occur where we felt we had to provide the money in case they did occur, and that's the reason for that, frankly, is because the budgets are so tight. And in the case of the police department, it's the same sort of thing. We put additional money in there because we felt there wasn't any way that they could avoid that expense, frankly. So the aggregate of the budget, in other words, all the revenues taken together and all the expenses taken together, is really the key issue here, because we're very, very close here. And next year, unless we have new revenue online, as Susan has said, our expenses will go up, because we can't any longer hold the line in terms of absolute dollars on our expenses. Things will cost more money next year. So we'll have a problem, and we'll be forced to cut somewhere in order to balance to our revenues. However, if we have more revenue available to us, we have reasonable revenue growth, for instance, that will help. Growth in sales tax, growth in TOT, that's all very good. That helps us. Then we come closer to being able to fund our expenses, because just like Ed and the other business people here tonight, our costs do go up every year due to inflation and other factors. We do the best we can to hold the line on our costs, but they do go up. The cost of doing business at the city continues to go up. And as long as we're going to provide this is not a budget that is where revenues have overrun expenses by a big margin or anything like that. It's very, very tight. The budgets themselves, the expense budgets, are very, very tight. Very little wiggle room for these department heads to make decisions during the year. It's going to be very difficult for them to keep their budgets in the constraints that we've given them.
Okay,
so I just put all that before you, and I hope to refocus you on the general issue of this is where we are on the budget. We don't have a lot of wiggle room,
okay,
but we think we can do it.
All right.
Wait.
Okay. Chief DeRohan, do you have anything that you would like to add about this discussion?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. You need to realize that a lot of the increases in the police department are cost increases we don't have control over. We drive our vehicles 24 hours a day. The fuel cost has gone from $2 to almost $4 a gallon. There's a huge increase in fuel costs. The cost of getting our vehicles repaired has increased. Many of the equipment that we've been able to purchase through grants, our communications equipment, our dispatch remodel, our mobile computers, the warranties the one-year warranties have expired, and now the maintenance contracts are kicking in. In addition, contractual maintenance contracts are generally written at 5% increases a year. So we're experiencing those. So it's not that we're adding anything to the budget. It's the mandated costs we don't have any control over that just keep going up due to maintenance contracts and fuel costs and everything else. Some of the areas in our budget we've actually reduced. So like the city manager said, there is no fluff, and we're not adding anything. It's just the mandated costs that we have no control over.
Okay, Chief Pond, do you have anything you would like to add to this discussion?
Not at this time.
Okay. All right.
I'd like to say something if I could.
All right.
And then I have a question for Mr. DeRohan.
I'll keep it as short as I can, Jane.
Melody?
Very concise. The finance director can stick her pie chart up and tell us that the police department is taking 29% of the general fund. But a council member cannot sit up here and note whose expenses are rising and whose are actually falling. We get raised hands out there when somebody's accused of micromanaging, and she never went to fuel or supplies or anything. She was just noting some departments are going down while others are going up.
Statement that you just made.
The increases in personnel are the part-time positions that we cannot fill what we tried to do is use the grant funds to fund those part-time positions. The problem we're having, a major recruiting problem to begin with. But on top of that, if I tell somebody that I can only guarantee them a job for a partial year because it's grant funded, nobody's going to come accept that job. So unfortunately, when we met as staff and discussed all of this, my concern was is not being able to fill these positions by using those grant funds because I couldn't get anybody to replace them. We've done recruiting efforts and we just can't find anybody when I can only tell them that they've got a job for a certain amount of time because, you know, people want full-time or guaranteed jobs. So that's when I made the proposal to put these positions back into the general fund so when we do our recruiting efforts, I can tell people it's a guaranteed job.
Could you clarify? Because I thought we cut all your part-time positions at the last, the council cut part-time positions last year. So who is it you're trying to recruit?
The part-time positions that were reduced a couple years ago in the budget, if you recall when I made the proposal on the SLESF funds, is that we were going to fund those positions with the SLESF money. The problem we've had is we haven't been able to recruit people because nobody wants to come to work here when they're only guaranteed a job for a small amount of time because the funds are not guaranteed from year to year. And that's the discussion we had at the staff level, as those positions are so crucial, like the part-time dispatcher and the reserve officer, that if we can get them back into the general fund, then I'll be able to recruit people to fill those positions.
Okay, I would like to finish my comments and start with the fact that I think that one of the most important things that people expect their city government to do is provide public safety. And I think that has to be where we spend most of our money. That's what government is supposed to provide. It's wonderful to be able to provide the other things too, the recreation and parks. It's very important to our citizens, but we have to provide public safety. That's our responsibility. And I know they've been having trouble recruiting, and I understand why. It's very expensive to live here, and if you don't have a guaranteed job and one that pays as well as you can get over the hill, or official revenue that we can look at in the next year, we don't know what we're going to do with Morrow Dunes. No matter what, it's going to bring in more than it has been. We've got Brannigan's, which we're looking at some options on again. And if push comes to shove and we can't get a deal on anything, at least we can sell it. And I know that's one-time money, but it would be a hefty sum at that. I do believe the TOT is going to go up. I think that the new events that we're having have shown that. Just the last two weekends, we've been jammed, and I think this weekend we will be as well. So I think that our chamber and I think the support that we're giving to our promotions and our chamber is working. And I think they're working with us and for us, and I would hate to not continue that because I think it's happening, and it has to happen because this is our future. It is in promoting ourselves as a tourist destination more than any of these other things. Some of them might come true, but the tourism is the one thing that we can rely on. So I would like to give $20,000 to $20,000 more to promotions tonight. The VCB, I've said this before, I would love to be able to say, yeah, we'll give you everything you ask for. It isn't here. It just isn't here. So at this point, I can't see doing that. If mid-year we can see that, gosh, the TOT's gone crazy, then maybe we can look at kicking that up another $5,000 like we did last year. I just, well, you can hear the difficulty here. It's obvious. I agree with the idea of at least equalizing the aid to agencies and reducing the museum a little bit. I agree they are more back on their feet now. We helped them out when they were going through the remodel, and that was a good thing. But now I think that we need to, if we're going to put in Hotline, let's balance it out and keep the same bottom line. Give Hotline $1,500 and the museum $2,000. I think that was everything that I had to say.
What about putting number six on the resolution?
I have no problem with that. I said that earlier. Yeah, that's fine. So I don't have any problem with that. All right, so have we got some decisions here, or do we want to still discuss other issues?
Oh, let me just ask you on the 20,000 of promotions, and I think I'd agree with doing that now.
Yeah.
But I only heard 12 coming out of council, so where did the other 8 come from?
Hoping the TOT is going to give it to us in the next quarter.
No. He says we have no wiggle room. We got to find the other 8.
Well, yeah, but each of these departments is going to get a certain amount of money. That doesn't mean they can be held to it. And that's the same true for this year. We don't know that they're not going to go over this year's budget.
What if we just do the 12 that we know that we cut out of council to promotions and then do a mid-year shift at that point? Because we know that we have money.
If that's council's pleasure, all right. I mean, I really do think it's going to go up. I think our TOT is going to be good this year. So I would, an $8,000 leap of faith I could take. But it's up to the rest of you. I can go either way. So, Rick, did you have
I'd go along with 10,000 now and taking a look at it again at mid-year.
We were talking 20.
Well, I know you were.
We went 20, talking, then we went 12, and now you've got 12.
That's where I'm at. I'm listening to staff, and I'm listening to Bob, and I'm listening to Susan. And, you know, we're in bad shape, and we're picking up every penny we can. And so I'll... And but I do realize the importance of the promotion. So I would be willing to give them $10,000 now because we've already showed how we could take out 12. So let's give them 10 right now. And we all want to give more. Let's look at it in a few months and see if we can.
That's really upset me. I'm going to go back to 20 with you, and I'm going to believe, because that is upsetting me. How am I supposed to pay for that police department if I don't promote events and get these people here? And as well as that, Mr. Piagini, remember this argument. It's not just about what the city gets. It's about what those waitresses get. It's what those barkeepers get. It's what those people who clean your hotel rooms get. It's supporting a big population in this town, 20 grand.
Tell us how you really feel. Okay. All right. We got two of us going for 20. We got one for 10. Bill.
Okay. I would actually make a motion that we direct staff to come back with a resolution at the whatever it is on page. A resolution at the next council meeting approving this budget with the changes that we have suggested, taking the $12,000 from the city council funds and giving an additional $20,000 to the promotions committee.
Using that $12,000.
And inserting and kicking, the and line that Ms. DeBarrett wanted to, as far as bringing hires back to the council.
And the corrections to the aid agencies to accommodate
And the
hotline.
Corrections to the aid agencies to level it out and include hotline.
Do I hear a second?
You're going to include number 6 on
We
yes.
did.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
And every year we say, oh, we'll do it at mid-year. Oh, we'll change our ways, and we haven't. So when are we going to make this big, awful decision about how we're going to operate differently? And I feel like we're passing the buck again to ourselves or whoever's going to be here in another year.
Okay. Well, I just want to make a comment on that then. City staff, I mean, yes, we represent the residents of this community, and we have authority over our city manager. But city staff, this is what they do. This is what they're educated to do. This is what they're trained to do. This is what they're very deeply experienced in doing. Is running a city. It would not make any sense for them to run the city into the ground, because then they're all out of work. So I think that we have to trust their integrity, trust their intelligence, trust their experience, and realize that if they feel that this is going to work for another year, knowing that it's tight, we've already heard that, then I think we can do that with a certain amount of confidence and be representing our residents properly. With the changes that we've made based on our personal feelings about increased promotion. So,
I would just like to respond to that by saying for 5 years our budgets have been going down and down and down. Mm-hmm. Until this council directs staff to do it differently, they will continue with the policy we have given them. And we've not given them any other policy to act differently, so why would they come to us with any other kind of a budget?
I think we took the budget down quite a bit last year. We made some very difficult cuts. So,
I'd like to say something, too. First of all, I'm going to agree with everything Ms. Winholz is saying, and I'll also say that I'm going to vote yes on the budget motion. And it feels weird to say that because I see absolute danger coming to this town. I see county governance coming. I see all kinds of horrible things in the future because we don't do anything different. But I want to tell the whole council and assure Ms. Winholz that at any time we can do a reorganization, you just agendize it. At any time we can do something different with policy, at any time we could decide to sell a property, we agendize it, or we talk about it in closed session. But I am once again horrified by this budget, and I am very sure I'll probably vote for it.
Okay, any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay, 4 in favor, 1 against. And this means we don't have to have a meeting next Thursday.
Madam Mayor, may I have a may I ask a question?
Yes.
You've approved $20,000 to the promotions budget. Is that correct? $12,000 coming out of council budget.
Yes.
Where would you like the other $8,000 to come?
Leap of faith on TOT.
So then, I should I tentatively fund it out of reserves, and if the TOT comes in, then I could return that to reserves?
I'd rather that you were changing your projection on TOT than taking it out of reserves. And then at the mid-year, if that TOT projection is not turning out, that we then go to the reserves. But I don't think...
But wait a minute here. That's her projection, not your projection.
Okay,
so if it comes to bear, then it would be there. But she would balance... What she's doing is balancing the budget to the amounts that we feel are the estimates for the revenue. I mean,
I'd take it out of the elections.
I would take it out.
$8,000.
Yeah, I would take it right out of the elections too.
I think the way that Susan described it is exactly the way it should be booked.
That's right.
It's not a change in any of the other appropriations. It's just a reduction in the what would you call it, unallocated funds, in order to allocate an additional $8,000. And then if the revenue comes up, of course, that will balance out. But I don't think it would be, it's not really proper for us to tell Susan what the revenue estimates should be in each of these areas. Those are her estimates.
She's, I apologize, Mr. Yeah. Hendricks.
Okay. Are we happy with this? Okay.
Yes.
All right. And I didn't even bring a quote. Money can't buy happiness. There we go. We're adjourned.